Bob and I had the incredible privilege of being with Pat Hastings, and actually, you know, I got to be with the family beforehand and talk and pray and just sit and listen as they waited for Don to pass to go be with Jesus, which he did. Many times during those hours, I thought about Pat and her devotion to Don, and she drove all the way up to see him 2 hours every day. There were maybe 2 days in the entire 10-month period where he was hooked up to machines, and, you know, she even brought him home, cared for him at home. And after he passed the other night, there were only about 2 days, I was going to say, I didn't finish the sentence, where she was not physically with him. And those days, she had someone hold the phone up to his ear so she could still talk to him. You know, how can I watch that happening and not think, for better or for worse, you know, in sickness and in health? And, you know, that for me was a very helpful backdrop amidst some of the pain and hardship that some of us are going through in our congregation in some of these, the challenge of being a sinner who's called to be a saint, who's married to a sinner who's called to be a saint. And dying to yourself daily, taking up your cross, knowing how to give and receive love in healthy ways. Yeah. Let me give you just a quick overview of some of the potential topics that my disobedient computer is not going to give me. Please work. There we go. This week's going to be our stories. Personality differences, not today, communication, potential topics of the class, by the way. Our stories, personality differences, communication. Can you guys see this? Excellent. I'll email you. Love languages, conflict resolution, and then I jokingly, last night when I was messing around with sort of details, I put about 4 extra slots of conflict resolution, and then at the end of all the rest of the topics, I put conflict resolution again. Because conflict resolution is probably one of the most relevant issues we could deal with in any class on any relationship, be it parent, child, husband, wife, coworker, church member. Conflict resolution is just perpetually relevant. Happiness, freedom, and control. But by which I mean it's not their fault and you need to take responsibility for yourself. Culture of honor. Marriage and finances. Somebody said, my marriage is doing better lately. And I said, is that because money's doing better lately? And they said, huh, it is doing better lately. And I hadn't thought about that. Children and parenting. Expectations. His role, her role. Fun and Sabbath. And then last but probably not least, sex. Which, honestly, do I really need to talk about that in Sunday school? Maybe. I don't know. That's Joe and Gloria's day, so... I guess sex wasn't last. I'm glad I put something else last. I've already preached on that once. I think that's enough for the rest of my life. So, and then couple's mission statement. I really do think it's helpful to get a sense of what are we here for on planet Earth in this short 40-year, 50-year, 60-year? I don't know, stint. A mission statement might be in order. What does Jesus want us to be about in the time that we have here? And then look at that every couple years or so to say, are we on track? Are we on target? So our story. Carrie? So we have roughly a half hour-ish. No, we don't. We have 25 minutes divided by 3. What is that? 8 minutes each. Somebody stopwatch me. We need... Basically, this is an introduction. I want you guys to know basically who is talking to you and the short version of our story of how we met. And I'm not really asking for all the gory details just now. Those will probably come out as we discuss different topics. I grew up in a Christian home. Carrie grew up in a Christian home, Virginia, Indiana. And I lived a pagan lifestyle, got saved about 19 years of age. And God called me into REACH, told me to go to the one country on planet Earth I told him I didn't want to go to, India. And confirmed that through a variety of undeniably obvious sources. Met this girl and immediately started to fall in love with her, repented of that and prayed against it the entire time I was on the team, and treated her poorly. Actually, I remember I did too treat you poorly. We had one-on-ones in the team, and we were supposed to meet with each person on our mission team. And she asked me, why are you so nice to the other girls and why do you ignore me? Well, there's not really a easy way to say, because you're hot and I like you, without saying that. So I had to try to figure out some sort of not lie statement that would say, basically, because I don't want to get involved in a romantic... How do you say that to somebody who doesn't even know you like them? I don't want to get involved in a romantic relationship, so I try to be very cold toward you. Did I do good when I answered that?
I don't remember.
Yeah. Are you going to hide behind that cup the entire day? Your turn.
No.
All right, fine. I'll finish my piece. So I went home, and actually the team leader was like, what are you going to do after REACH is over? The team leader, Irma, she says, what are you going to do after REACH is over? And I was like, I'm going to be free of this burden is what I'm going to do. You know? And she said, you're not going to ask Carrie on a date? And I was like, are you kidding me? It's about me and Jesus. I don't need the distraction of mammary glands and all that nonsense. I need focus on Jesus. And she just kind of shook her head and was basically like, you're dumb. God's not opposed to you having a fun life just because he wants you to be godly. Okay? So I went home and my family was basically like, are you going to call this girl? Are you going to call this girl? I was like, I don't know. She wrote me a letter that had like 15 smiley faces in it, and I just don't know if I could ever see myself in a serious relationship with a woman who puts 15 smiley faces in a letter. And my sister was furious. Melody was like, maybe she thought you needed 15 smiley faces. You seem depressed. Jerk. So mom and dad and the sisters kind of pushed me, and they were like, if you don't ask this girl out, you are just stupid. So, because they were so encouraging, I prayed through it, and then I kind of got obsessed with it, and then, you know, finally asked her out. So. It's the short version. I don't know. Say whatever you want to say. You have 2 minutes. So I took yours.
Well, I'll just pick up where you left off, because that's short. So we dated for 2.5 years. We got engaged after about dating a year and a half. Tim was at Asbury in Kentucky, and I was at Cedarville in Ohio, so we were about 3 hours away from each other. So we got to do a kind of long-distance thing-ish. And then we've been married 9 years. 9 years in June.
Never had a bump or a glitch.
No.
There was absolutely nothing there of detail, was there?
I gotta talk.
Bob and I met at Grace College, my senior year, his junior year. And I just, the first time I saw him, his truck was parked in the middle of the road, and I was so frustrated because I couldn't get around him, and I was like crying out loud, you know. I had a girlfriend next to me, and I was like, you know, what kind of fool leaves his truck running in the middle of the road? And I was just so frustrated, and he comes running out of the chapel, and I was like, ooh. And I looked at Jack and I said, Grace needs more men like that. And she was like, I thought you'd just call him a fool. And I was like, shut up. So make a long story short, I conveniently found myself located where he was, and had to ask him for some notes because my counselor messed up my schedule and I wasn't going to graduate on time. So I had to skip geography, which is my worst subject. It met three times a week. I could only attend one time. So I had to get somebody that was taking notes in there, and he was the only kid that was in there paying, young man. He was the only man that was in there taking notes. Everybody else was literally sleeping, doing their nails. I mean, it was pathetic. So I asked him for his notes, and he said to me, well, if you didn't skip class, you wouldn't need notes. And I was like, ooh, maybe he is a fool. So he graciously gave me his notes and helped me study.
Was the
and
wind blowing across his hair when he did that?
It could have been.
I had more hair then.
So
I was just shocked she spoke to me. You know, didn't know what to say. That's the first thing that came out of my mouth.
So anyhow, the
I
rest.
I couldn't imagine anybody not wanting to pay attention and be at geography class.
My first clue. So anyhow, it kind of just happened from then. We did a lot of community projects together, and just kind of fell in love. Then So then we dated for what, 3 months?
3 months.
Yeah. And
oh
then
yeah,
you
yeah. That's right. It's my turn. Perspective is an amazing thing, isn't it? We dated for 3 months, and it was the end of the year, and we were in Chicago. And what she doesn't know, I don't know if I ever told her this, but I used to always tell my buddies that, you know, I thought she was the prettiest woman I'd ever seen. But I knew she wasn't going to talk to me. But anyway, so 3 months later, I was convinced I wanted to marry her. So we're at the top of the John Hancock building in Chicago, and I asked her to marry me, and she said no.
I'm not a quick decision maker.
So that was sort of the death of a vision.
Oh.
But
why'd you say no?
Because I'd only known her for 3 months.
That's right. I knew enough. Anyway.
I thought you had to get your discernment.
It was before. It was fully developed. Maybe. We were married in July of 1988, and we've been married a year later. So it took me another year to convince her she wanted to marry me.
No, it was only a few more months.
Okay. And we've been married 22 years, and I will just say this, and then I'll let Joe and Gloria talk. I'm very sure now that Diane had no idea what she was getting herself into. It's amazing how we, but God has been so good and so gracious to us, and I'm so thankful that he gave me the wife that he did, and I hope that that our journey and our struggles can help encourage you in yours, because it is a journey and it is a struggle. But the benefits and the blessings far outweigh that, and I love my wife dearly.
And just to cap that, some of the background on that is that I was raised in a Christian home and Bob wasn't, and Bob had a lot of trauma in his childhood.
Baggage. Dysfunction.
So that brought us to
how do you really know you know after a year of dating and maybe meeting their parents once or twice, how do you really know what you're getting into? You don't. And that's why it's so important that not only the Holy Spirit leads you together, but that he continues to be
and he's what keeps you together. That's right.
I guess it's us. Diane was talking about meeting around the geography class, and I was just thinking we did not meet in a geography class. We kind of lived our geography class. One of the things we point out sometimes is that we have four children, And each, and this is true, each of them was born in a different country. So we learned a little bit about geography as we went along. How did we meet? We were both born in Christian homes, pastor homes. A lot about our backgrounds were very similar, but did come from different areas. Gloria's from eastern Pennsylvania, Souderton, Franconia area, Quaker Town, to be specific. The way we actually met was through mutual friends, through connections at Lancaster Mennonite High School and so on. And the first time we actually met, I was singing with a male quartet, and we were singing at a little church up there in eastern Pennsylvania one place one Sunday morning. I'm not sure how much of this was actually planned, but anyway, Gloria came with her friend, and I was introduced by my friend, and anyway, things started picking up speed from there.
So you were too shy to directly engage?
We did. Actually, we did have a date that night. Yeah. That evening. Wasn't all night. And
let's be clear.
We're old school here. Oh, okay. What was it, 7 or 8 months later, I went into VS. I was drafted. This was back in, that was actually in 1966, I think. It's been a little while ago. I was drafted and went into VS in Germany. So the following January, I left for 2 years and spent those 2 years in Germany. We dated by letter. That was before the days of email. We didn't even know what email was. I don't think we even called on the telephone any time during that. We probably could have. It would have been pretty expensive. A couple times we did send tapes back and forth. These were the little reel tapes. They weren't, not even cassettes. They didn't have cassettes back then. What are they? So we could record messages, and like 15-minute tape was about that big around, and you could play the mess. So that was the nearest that's the only voice contact we would have had for 2 years. And we might, yeah. We have to look for the recorder now, the machine to play it on. But we survived that, and then within a year after I came back, we did get married. It was a little bit under a year after we got married. Then we went to Germany and mission work with Rosedale. That's where actually I had been in VS. We went back there as house parents, working with other young adults who were there in service. Did that for 2.5 years, where our first child was born. Came back. We were back here. I was working, and our second child was born. Then I think it was about 3 years later, went to EMC at that time. Finished up my degree in 2 years, and that's when we first went to Africa to work in Tanzania in a Bible school with Eastern Mennonite missions, and that was a total of 10 years in a couple different. But anyway, I was trying to think of the things that that really affected our marriage, and one of them was the thing of living overseas. It presents a different kind of challenge. You don't have parents to fall back on, or parents looking over your shoulder all the time. So there's both a positive and a negative there. But we had to do that on our own, which we did. And I think one of the things that influenced us as well during that time was connecting with other couples, and some of them who were having problems, and just being a friend, sort of a pastoral friend to some of them. And along the way, working with couples who've been having problems. Now, it's not that we are perfect and that we have all the answers, but we've tried to be human and just listen and throw in suggestions where we can. I was just thinking the other day of one situation that a young doctor and his wife had just come to do medical work in a hospital, which was a fairly new hospital. And it was out in the bush pretty much in Africa, right on the edge of the Serengeti Park, and he was at the hospital as a doctor. Well, it turned out there was a local nurse who seemed to have an attraction to him and started showing him special attention. And he found that he sort of liked that. Well, when his wife got wind of that, of course, she was upset. And they came to ask us, talk to us about it. We didn't know where to go with that, you know, but we did talk to them. I mean, so it's that kind of thing. How do you, and actually they worked through that, and I think they're stronger. As far as I know, they're together today, and we haven't had contact with them for a while. But it's just that kind of thing, just the common, ordinary things that happen, and we've watched this and sometimes been allowed to walk beside people who are struggling in that way. And that has infected our own marriage as well, and the things that are important to us.
Sometimes seeing other people's struggles and sharing in those struggles help us to realize what kinds of things we need to do for our own marriage, and that was very important to us. It's not that we had answers, not that we really knew what we were doing. It was simply walking together with someone in the struggles that they had.
I made some comments here about things that have affected our marriage, and another one that I have here is the fact that Gloria is also a nurse. She was in nursing school when I met her. She's an RN, and what does it mean to work together, live together, where we're both professionals, I think we should say, and yet she, in this case, was somewhat restricted in how she could. It's hard to be a nurse and a parent all was at the same time, especially living overseas. And so we've had to juggle this, and we've tried to do that, to allow each of us to be able to find what's right for us, and yet do what we've got to do in life. And that has looked in different, has taken different shapes at different times. Now that we have an empty nest, she's back full-time nursing, and so, enjoys that. That it's taken a bit different, than what it does for a long time. Is that? What do you want to say? Let me just say this so we don't forget. Okay. So we've made it 40 years. Last December was 40 years, and we're going for 40 more.
You didn't survive it either.
I'll just say that along the way in our marriage too, we realized sometimes that we had trouble communicating, so we went to marriage enrichment seminar. I spent a weekend while we were in Virginia with about 10 or 15 other couples, just talking about some of the struggles that happen in marriages. And that was very helpful to us. We also took part in marriage enrichment encounter, at one point, which was very helpful to us also. And although we're not using the tools that they suggested, it did put us in touch with each other in so much more active way, and realizing that marriage is a relationship, and you really do have to work at it, and it's not just going to happen.
Let's go back here to the... I would say much the same thing in terms of you help people out of what you've learned, and you learn out of helping people, which is it's a strange experience. I didn't really finish up our story. I assumed Carrie was going to do that, and she basically said we got married, and that was it. Our first date, we talked about marriage. Our first date, we talked about. I went into the bathroom, stood there, and prayed, "Jesus, help me do this thing." And then went back out and basically said, "Look, I'm not here because I'm here to mess around. I already know that you're marriage material, and my intention is to take the next 2 years to grow up, because I'm not ready. I need to mature. Give me 2 years, then we'll get married." And on the way home from our date, we talked about how many kids we were going to have, and we actually named the first two. We didn't actually go with those names later on. And we followed the plan. We took our 2 years, and we got married, textbook. I waited until she could live near me. We didn't have to go to school separate from each other, although I think I've seen that done, where people are married and living in different states. It makes the weekends really exciting. You did that too? And right away I figured out, you have a question. Go ahead.
I was fine with that. I actually had an experience like I went into Reach right after a breakup that was messy and painful and just one of those lingering whatever, and I experiences whatever means. And I really spent my entire time praying for wisdom, because I was like, am I supposed to get back together with this guy, or am I not supposed to? Or at the same time, I was really feeling it. I had three dreams in a row toward the beginning of Reach that I was dating Tim, which but after the third one, I was like, who is this guy? And anyway, I was struggling with between this past relationship and I was just really begging God for clarity. I was like, am I just supposed to marry somebody because I don't know? Anyways, Anyway, I was, toward the end of Reach, I was laying in bed. I was sick. I had been throwing up. I was, like, awake at, like, 3 in the morning. I was praying, and all of a sudden, clear as a bell, God answered my prayer. Doom was, like, and I knew. I was, like, I don't want to get back together with this other guy. And I didn't know if it was a sense that I was going to marry Tim or I just wanted to marry Tim. I was, like, I guess we'll see. But it was strong enough that I thought perhaps it was the Lord telling me that I was going to marry Tim. And so I knew. I knew that I would marry Tim. I wanted to marry Tim. And so when he talked about that to me on our first date, it
wasn't a shock.
No.
We spent 6 months six months together every day and a diverse amount of experiences and all kinds of climates and stress levels. And, you know, I cleaned up her vomit. Open doors for her. The other part was true, literally true. Gross.
He
did the same thing.
I did do the same thing.
On our first date.
No, I didn't do that. But I did say to Diane that, you know, if you don't see the qualities in me that you want in a husband, or you don't think those can develop, or you have, if this is just a way to pass your time, or in, you know, enjoy the last, I can't remember exactly what I said, but it was to that effect. I said,
it's like, you're not playing around with this. You're looking for a wife. Yeah.
Well, I didn't say I was looking for a wife, but
did.
not in those words,
okay,
but anyway.
That's what I heard.
Oh.
See?
So, yeah. How to.
What is that? But I thought it was refreshing. I was like, finally, somebody who's honest.
And I was scared to death because I thought she'd say, hit the road, Jack. But I didn't clean up her vomit, but when we were dating, I did take a stick and go, honey, you don't chew your food very well.
And on that note, let's finish.
I was not that task-oriented. I just enjoyed the relationship, and eventually it happened.
Thanks, guys. That's a weird introduction.